The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
You might have heard about us on Facebook. It's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, from the chair behind all the knobs and switches, here's Nate.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, downloading, and listening to the show. And also thanks to everybody who's been shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com. We appreciate all of your patronage. And when you're thinking Amazon, think natedarlingshow.com. Because it doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. So, really, how could you object to that? Coming up today on the show, a very, very, very small cast. Diana is far too important for us now.
She's moving up, bro.
Sure, sure.
Moving up and moving out.
Moving Pepsi from here to there. That's important stuff. Kareem is doing some sort of weird cleanse this week, so he warned us he would not be here.
Right.
So that's
the butthole surfer.
And Jason delayed at work, so he'll be joining us in a little bit. Coming up on the show today, the Chive asked women, if you had a penis for one day, what would you do? We'll find out.
It's an important question.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we have a follow-up to our story last week about the vigilante with a drone busting prostitutes. There's more.
Is that it again? Or is it?
There's more to the story. You'll find out.
Oh.
Find out coming up.
I can't wait.
Sam actually showed up, so thanks, Sam. Appreciate
my pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here, Nate.
Thank God. Thank God you did, or I'd just be sitting here talking to myself. It'd be weird. I'd have to bring like one of the...
Is that weird? Because I do that all the time.
I do, too.
Okay.
But I'd have to like bring in one of the tiny dogs and just...
Keep you company.
So I could make eye contact during the show. how was your week?
I had a wonderful week. Wonderful weekend. I helped my dad put some solar panels on his roof.
Nice. Saturday. Green.
It was nice. That was probably the first time my white ass saw the sun.
Mm.
Not literally my ass, but, you know.
I was going to say.
The shirt off.
You and your dad did it naked?
Hell yeah, bro. How do you think I got so weird?
Yeah, not surprising.
But then had a wonderful evening in Sonoma with my gal later that evening. And then Sunday... Spent the entire day in San Jose, Concord area with my brother and my pal Alejandro, who you would recall.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was cool. It was fun. We found this little place called the Bros Basement.
Of course you did.
It's tons of geeky shit. There's, like, sports memorabilia. There's, like, I wanted to buy the Barbie and Ken X-Files edition.
Mm-hmm.
A little Mulder and Scully. And it was all vintage shit. It was hella
cool. Sure.
Yeah. But great week, great weekend. How about yourself?
Not so bad. Not too bad at all. We, like I mentioned before, we booked our photographer for the wedding, so that's done. Checked that off. Leslie's been home for a little while, so that's nice.
That's a sweet change to have a woman home with you.
Yeah, she got home I think Thursday night late, something like that.
It was a shocker to open the door and see you're sitting there with her smiling, gorgeous face.
Right. She's home this week and here and there throughout. So she had that. But, of course, the big thing this past week was WrestleMania.
Oh, yes.
That was
Nate's big day.
It is the big day in WWE. Mm. And I know you didn't catch any of it, but that's fine.
I didn't. No.
That's fine. Because WrestleMania did very well. It was still among the top trending topics on Twitter and various other social media platforms. Aside from that big exposure carrying over several hours, the final after the final bell rang at the annual event, it appears that the WWE has even more reasons to celebrate. In a press release on Yahoo, the WWE released the latest numbers on the WWE Network, which indicates that following WrestleMania, the WWE Network has reached 1.82 million subscribers.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm one of them. History was made last night. Both a record-setting crowd at AT&T Stadium, more than 100,000 people showed up in Dallas, and more households than ever watching WrestleMania on WWE Network. That's from CEO Vince McMahon. Continuing, the WWE Network continues to drive transformative growth for our company. They've reached record levels of total subscribers, total domestic subscribers and international subscribers as of April 4th. They've increased 24% in total total international subscribers increased 126% after WrestleMania last year.
They're making
year.
Some money, dude.
They are. Video views reached 65 million across social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Vine, and YouTube. That represents an 87% increase over last year. WrestleMania garnered a record 10.9 million social fan engagements. That's up 19% from the prior year. So they continue to believe that if the average paid subscribers to WWE Network increases at a rate between 20 and 25% in 2016, their adjusted OIBDA, which I don't know what that is, could be in the range of approximately $70 to $85 million. So it's
damn.
it's doing very well.
So this is something that I remember as a kid when it was still WWF wrestling,
right?
The Hulk Hogan days. I watched it occasionally when I was spending the night at my friend's house on a Friday night or whenever it was.
Sure.
And I loved it. I do remember we would fake our own little wrestling matches and stuff. But I remember watching, I don't know if it was a documentary or something about, you know, how they would over-sensationalize and all this. And it works. It's great entertainment. And I remember, like, the guy would said to fake that he was bleeding. He wasn't faking. He would actually have a razor blade. Like,
yeah.
He would grab and he would cut. If you cut yourself just the slightest bit on the face, there's a lot of capillaries and it bleeds a lot.
I believe that was Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat is probably it. And like how the sound of, you know, the loose board so that the sound was even more intense, putting a mic under the mat, all this stuff when they hit. Does that affect you as a viewer knowing that, you know, the outcomes are predetermined, these kind of things?
No, they're putting on a show.
It's a fantastic. It's like,
it's a show.
Right.
That's what it is. I mean, you can't go with the idea that it's an actual athletic competition.
Right.
I mean, there's athleticism involved, but
yeah.
It's a show. It's no different than going to see Cirque du Soleil or going
totally.
To see a movie or whatever else. The ending is already predetermined.
Yeah.
It's just seeing the spectacle of it. And
right.
That's really.
And they really do make a spectacle.
Oh.
I caught some of the screenshots and some video of, I don't even know the guy who jumped off the cage at the end there.
Shane McMahon,
yeah.
Who we'll get into that in a second, but Shane
okay.
McMahon is the son of Vince McMahon, who is the owner of WWE.
Oh.
He's been away from the company for a while, and he came back in part because they've had so many injuries this year to a lot of the top guys.
Oh, man.
In fact, literally everybody who held a title in WWE after WrestleMania last year,
yeah.
1 year ago, so that's your champion, your tag team title holders.
Yeah.
There's a couple other championship belts for the men, and then there's the women's championship, or at the time, the Divas Championship. So six
yeah.
champions.
Right.
Every single one of them was out injured.
Holy shit. Because of the...
Of various
WWE.
Things that have happened, whether it's accumulated
right.
damage, is the case with Nikki Bella from the show Total Divas,
yeah.
who was the Divas champion until she finally dropped that.
Mm-hmm. Or like a one-time injury.
Or the one-time injuries,
right.
which happened to a lot of people. There were a lot of people out with shoulder injuries. So they are actually putting, their bodies are taking a beating.
For sure, yes.
And it is, it's all for show. And you
yeah.
have to go into it knowing it's a show.
Yeah.
And the fact that...
Just like I watch a comic book movie and you argue with your friends about which character you like better. No, Captain America's going to kick Iron Man's ass.
Right.
Same kind of thing. You pick your character, you root for him, you see what happens.
Except these guys are actually playing the characters and they're part actor, part stuntman.
Totally.
Really.
Oh, yeah.
So that all goes down. But the the big thing about the big things about WrestleMania, it was a long show. And we actually started it late. because we were out doing things, and that's the nice thing about WWE Network is you go to
it's
a program.
On demand or
it's
something.
It's this even though it's live, it's on demand. You can start from the beginning.
Fantastic!
Yeah.
You have the option to join in live or start from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which is that's fantastic.
Yep, you have the. So here basically what happened in the pre-show: Kalisto defeated Ryback to maintain the U.S. Championship. The Team Total Divas won a 10 Diva Tag Team match. And the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, defeated the Dudley Boys in a tag team match. So that was the pre-show. Mm-hmm. The actual show kicked off with a 7-man ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, where Zack Ryder, who had essentially been relegated to the developmental territory a few years ago.
Okay.
He was sort of not being pushed in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So he started doing stuff online and declared himself the internet champion.
Oh!
And he got super popular on social media, but he hadn't been seen in the ring.
Smart career move.
Well, here's the thing. Huh. It worked and it didn't work in that he wasn't seen in a WWE ring
right.
for quite some time.
Right.
He was sort of sent back, but he managed to get back into this match. He ended up winning.
Good.
Where he held the Intercontinental Championship for one day, as he lost on Monday Night Raw the next night.
Oh, bummer.
So they gave him the title.
Short-lived victory.
They gave him the title. That this really cool thing, like when he was a kid, he went to I think it was WrestleMania, and he got his picture taken with Razor Ramon.
Uh-huh.
And Razor Ramon let him hold his Intercontinental title belt. So they had that picture.
So that was the moment when it all mm-hmm. birthed
so,
for him.
So after WrestleMania, he took a picture backstage and let Razor Ramon hold
Shut
his.
Up. That's awesome.
Very, very cool.
That is cool.
And they had that on Monday Night Raw, and then he lost the title. Because life is cruel.
But he had that beautiful photograph to remember it.
Yeah, it's very cool. So there's a rematch coming up on SmackDown. But
good.
Chris Jericho defeated AJ Styles. The League of Nations defeated The New Day in a 6-man tag team match. Brock Lesnar.
Broccoli?
Brock Lesnar defeated Dean Ambrose in a no-holds-barred street fight. Charlotte, with her daddy Ric Flair, beat Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks for the...
Hold on, so it was a daddy-daughter fight?
No. He was just... He's just the valet. He stands outside the ring.
Yeah. All right.
And he got involved a little bit, but no, he's not in the match. So Charlotte's still the women's champion now because they've retired the silly...
Diva.
Butterfly-looking Divas Championship. God, that was terrible.
Yeah.
So terrible. And The Undertaker... who is older than dirt and slower than death.
Fitting. That should be his new entry slogan.
Defeated the aforementioned Shane McMahon in a Hell in a Cell match.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
the
one.
They had to let him win.
That was the one you mentioned where Shane McMahon climbed to the top of the Hell in a Cell, which is 20 feet.
Fucking huge.
Jumped off.
Landed on
ostensibly
his back.
To put an elbow through the Undertaker, who was lying prone on the announce table. The Undertaker moved. And he went through the announce table.
Yeah.
And then the Undertaker picked him up and carried him into the ring and finished him.
Yeah.
Not in a gay way. that was followed by the 20-man battle royal for the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy, which was very interesting because they had a lot of people in that you wouldn't expect to see, including some blasts from the past. Like Diamond Dallas Page was there.
Oh, my God.
Someone you might or might not remember. It might be before your time. Hmm. Tatanka.
I'm not familiar with Tatanka.
The Native
Give me a little...
He's the Native American warrior.
Oh, right on.
He's the Native...
Oh, I've seen pictures.
The Native American mid-carder.
Dope.
So he was in there. Shaquille O'Neal.
Now, that's a shocker.
Minority owner of the Kings was there, and he says he's ready for more.
I didn't expect that from...
This is my fourth WrestleMania. This is my WrestleMania moment right now. Shaquille O'Neal is in the house. I literally sprinted to come and find you. You're my dream interview of my entire life. How are you?
I think I'm a little upset. I've been wanting Big Show for years. So second time. First one didn't go well. This one, they double-teamed us. But hopefully, before he retires, it'll just be me against him.
So
if you're listening, I'm ready to take on Big Show whenever, wherever. Just let me know.
So he was in the Battle Royal. In the Battle Royal, basically... If you are eliminated, if you're thrown out over the top rope and your feet hit the ground.
Okay.
So Shaquille is
Too tall to hold on.
He's 7 feet tall. He's
right.
300 and some pounds. The Big Show is taller than him and bigger than him.
Okay.
And in order to eliminate them, like 6 or 8 guys
mm-hmm.
got them near the ropes and just basically lifted them over the edge.
Nice. I was going to say that with those rules, it seems like body weight, height, all that really plays a major advantage.
Mm, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but that right. that was a relatively interesting thing. But the winner of that was Baron Corbin, who was just up from the developmental NXT. He's a former NFL player.
Okay.
Played for the Arizona Cardinals.
Really?
The thing that was amusing for me is every time they would talk about him, they would refer to him by his last name. Corbin does this. Corbin does that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I work with someone whose last name is Corbin.
Yeah, yeah.
So every time I would hear that, I would just sort of I really wanted to have a bunch of – I want to capture all of those things on audio.
And play it for him.
And just play them throughout the day.
That would be magical.
As he walks through the office.
Yes.
I'm not going to.
And then top it off with a little Fifth Element, Chris Tucker. Corbin, my man! Corbin!
The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock
came
Johnson.
Back to the ring.
He did. He came out to talk.
He didn't fight.
Oh, but he did.
I hope so.
He did. He defeated Eric Rowan in 6 seconds. And when the Wyatt,
tell me about that.
When the Wyatt family came out to confront him, basically to scare him.
Okay.
So there's three of them.
Right.
And they came out, and The Rock's in the ring by himself. He doesn't back down. He trash talks, as he always does. And then he basically says, going to have a match. He takes off his shirt, and then he takes off his pants, and he's wearing wrestling trunks underneath.
Of course he is.
And then, he obviously didn't prepare, he pulls his elbow pads out of his wrestling trunks. One in the one in the back and one in the front.
That's hot.
And then proceeded to do that. at a certain point, when all three of them ganged up on him, John Cena made his triumphant return to the ring and helped him clear house.
Good.
One of the things I forgot to mention earlier was the League of Nations versus New Day match. Mm-hmm. As the League of Nations won, they started yapping about how they were the greatest faction ever. That was the point at which Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, came out.
Mm-hmm.
Who you might recognize from the past.
Yep.
Mick Foley, the hardcore legend, came out.
Nice.
Had his moment. And they walked down the ring. And then you hear the glass shattering sound effect that means only one thing. Stone Cold Steve Austin is in the house.
Oh, shoot.
He's been retired 15 years.
Yeah.
And when his music hit, the crowd in unison roared like a rock concert.
Of course.
I mean,
this guy was the Michael Jackson of WWE for a while.
I totally marked out. I was stoked just to see him come out. And of course, they did all of the bits that they normally do. And it was great. He went down and kicked some ass and gave out some Stone Cold Stunners to all the bad guys in League of Nations. And then the New Day, who part of their bit is to dance around a little bit.
I love the New Day. They're the best.
They're dancing around. Yeah. So they're doing that, and Shawn Michaels does a little twerking with them because he's getting into it. Mick Foley does a little dance, and he's getting into it.
Okay, I need to see that highlight
and
reel.
And Stone Cold is not having it. He's not amused with it, and then he fakes like he's going to do it because Xavier Woods is like, come on, come on, come on.
Uh-huh.
So he fakes like he's going to start doing it.
Clotheslines.
And then then he kicked him in the stomach and gave him a Stone Cold Stunner.
Nice.
And then they drank a bunch of beers because that's what Stone Cold does. So that was freaking awesome. And then finally at the end, Roman Reigns defeated Triple H for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And that's how it ended, with the crowd booing.
Whoa.
The crowd hates Roman Reigns.
But that's all part of the drama.
They hate Roman.
You have to let the nemesis win once in a while.
Well, here's the problem though. Roman Reigns is the guy that they're pushing as the babyface.
Right. Okay.
So the company wants you to cheer him because he's the good guy.
Uh-huh.
And they do everything they can to put him over as the good guy and his opponent as the bad guy.
Right. But everyone views it the other way.
But the crowd boos him
mercilessly.
Interesting.
Whoa.
It's
so that's, do you think that was the desired effect, or they're going to have to play with this now?
Well, part of the problem is there is something called the internet wrestling community.
Right.
Which is a bunch of people who just get online and bitch and complain about wrestling.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they watch literally everything wrestling.
A lot of those John Cena memes that go floating around. For sure.
If they're angry and hate John Cena, yes, those are the people. If they like John Cena, no, those are not the people. So And then on Monday Night Raw, they booed like crazy when he was introduced and came down to the ring.
Really?
But here was the fun thing. On Monday Night Raw, WWE already know, they're aware of what's going on.
Okay.
So they started out, Vince McMahon came out and said, "You Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania crowds are just crazy."
No way.
He's like, "You guys are just crazy."
He's stoking the flame.
He's like, "You guys boo people you want to cheer, and you cheer for people you want to boo. You're just insane."
Okay.
So they were just
calling them out.
Yeah, they were just messing with them. So it was a very interesting thing. But the real takeaway from the weekend, despite the fact that WrestleMania is the biggest event.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, a lot of money.
NXT, which is their developmental territory.
Anytime I hear developmental, I just think developmentally challenged.
That's not what it is. It's people in development to go into the main roster on WWE. They had something called NXT TakeOver Dallas. And they've done a few of these around pay-per-views. And the wrestling tends to be a lot faster paced. It tends to be more interesting. And probably the best match of the weekend happened on NXT TakeOver, as Sami Zayn took on Shinsuke Nakamura, who is new from Japan and is referred to as the King of Strong Style. The King of Strong Style. So after the match, WWE caught up with Sami Zayn.
Nice.
To talk about what's next.
Sami, despite the loss, an absolutely amazing match tonight at NXT TakeOver. Talk to us a little bit about the match and also the reaction at the end of the match.
The match itself, there's not much. God, what can I say about Shinsuke Nakamura? I was excited when the match was announced. I was excited to watch him come out, and I just knew it was go time. And it was one of the hardest battles I think I've ever had in my whole career. I have nothing but respect for that guy. As far as what happened after the match, that show of respect on his part meant a lot. And show of respect from the fans obviously meant a lot. It's kind of hard to put into words. It's just a lot of emotion, straight after a match like that. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to put into words. It means a lot, though.
Basically, he lost, and he is now in WWE full time.
Good for him.
So he's been elevated out of NXT and is in WWE. So that's kind of the emotion of that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that was Friday night. Saturday night was the Hall of Fame inductions, which I won't even go into. It's just they were trying to think of the
who made the Hall of Fame.
Maybe
the hit list.
I think Sting would be the big name. He was the one that came out last.
Okay.
He was actually in WrestleMania last year.
Uh-huh.
And he hurt his neck in September, so he is retiring. And they put him in the Hall of Fame. They put the Big Boss Man in the Hall of
Fame. Nice.
I'm going to forget some people. The big one from the past.
Right.
That everybody's wondering why they weren't in. The Fabulous Freebirds. Tag team from the 80s. Little surprising that they weren't already in.
Right.
But yeah, that was the big one. But
nice.
Big weekend for WWE. Oh, please hold.
Ooh, that's the xylophone of doom.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Can't talk right now. I don't know who's calling me. So anyway, that was the thing. Big weekend for WWE.
Right, huge.
Now they start figuring out how to make it all come together.
Hmm. Well, that Stone Cold Steve Austin cameo, I'm sure, was pretty much a highlight for most viewers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was of the show, I think that was probably the biggest. That and the Shane McMahon jumping off of the
That was the coolest stunt for sure, dude. That blew my mind watching that little clip.
So that was pretty much WrestleMania.
Nice.
All right. So now let's move on to I'll have to put in the description if you don't want to hear about WrestleMania.
Fast forward to
24 minutes in. Because that was let me make a note of that.
Oh God. And if you don't like WrestleMania, but you still like Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock, listen anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm just put it in the description. If people are like, "Yeah, what the hell is all this?"
Yeah.
All right. So time for the follow up. An Oklahoma man who gained national exposure for his video vigilante campaign to expose street prostitution in his hometown was arrested for allegedly paying hookers to ensure that they serviced customers in an area where he could easily film them.
What a sick motherfucker.
He was getting on both ends.
Oh my God.
According to the Oklahoma City Police Department, Brian Bates, middle name master, orchestrated the public encounters so he could peddle the resulting videotape to media outlets. Some of the tapes are for sale on his website. In his dealings with prostitutes, he was choosy, as you should be.
Right.
For example, if the John was a regular, he asked prostitutes to give specific signals so we would know not to bother rolling tape.
Okay, don't want to ruin a...
Yeah, you don't... So he was working...
Good business.
Basically, yeah, he was working with the prostitutes, right. So he had developed a hand signal so that if it was a regular, they wouldn't get recorded. So
right.
If you were a regular, you were okay. It was it was some poor son of a bitch who was just like hard on his luck and decided he needed to get a prostitute.
Right.
Yeah, that was the person.
Damn.
He was hit with a felony pandering charge and misdemeanor count of aiding in prostitution. The pandering rap, which is usually reserved for pimps, carries a minimum 2-year jail term.
Well, good.
And a maximum of 20 years in. In a statement posted on his website, he called the bust a shock to me and my family.
More of the family, really.
Adding, I hope this will all be worked out in the coming days or weeks. I'm sure it will be, sir. Well
done,
you scumbag.
What a sick fuck.
All right, so Friday was April Fool's Day.
Yes, it was.
Did you involve yourself in any prankery?
This is one of the most disappointing April Fool's Days of my life. It was more of a day to reminisce, you know, on the days of yore.
Mm.
What was, anything happened that you were...
No, I hate April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know what, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. You don't have to do that. Well, a monkey performing on a Chinese street earned the title of official primate of April Fool's Day.
Stop right there. The monkey performing on a Chinese street?
Mm-hmm.
That's the best part.
Carry on. Oh, no, it's not.
The primate of April Fool's
Day. Official primate of April Fool's Day. Why?
Do tell, sir.
He pulled down a man's pants.
Oh, that's the most classic gag there is.
He pantsed a man.
Monkey.
The man who is standing on the leashes is momentarily distracted by one of the monkeys pulling on his hair, giving another monkey the opening he needed to pants the man and expose his underwear.
Oh, so this is like a team punk going on here.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's all part of the show.
Right, right.
It's all part of the show.
The guy getting his hair pulled and pants dropped is...
Yeah, and the monkeys are like, what's going on? But hey, that's what... That passes for fun in China.
That's very much a good time.
Monkeys.
I would love watching
monkeys pantsing a guy.
Monkeys pantsing a guy.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. We've talked about Airbnb before, specifically Paris Airbnb, where
right.
You'll find dead bodies.
Yeah.
Well, this is not offering you dead bodies. Oh no, this is for the adventurous traveler.
Ooh.
You might be down for this.
I'm in.
It's a chance to literally sleep with the fishes. In this case,
they kill you. The cement shoes.
No. In this case, the fishes is 35 sharks.
What the fuck?
See, they're offering something called Night At. It's a series with an underwater room for two and a 360-degree transparent wall being all that separates the room from 35 sharks at the Shark Aquarium in Paris.
And it's one night only?
Yep, it's a night for two, available only to applicants who submit an essay of 550 words about why they should be selected to sleep with the sharks. The facility has some ground rules for lodgers, though, including no selfies after dark, because remember, the sharks are sensitive to light.
Yeah.
Avoid seeing jaws before you sleep over. They're kinder than you think. No sleepwalking or night swimming.
Huh.
Don't eat the chum.
Okay.
No diving.
All right.
Keep your heads and feet in the bedroom at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep can't swim, so count sharks instead. And don't take the bait.
They didn't say no hanky-panky in the pool.
No, if you want to. I mean...
That would be some exciting sex, having sharks watching you if you're into voyeurism.
Well, literally anybody could watch you because you're in the middle of a glass tank.
Even better.
I'd just
stay naked in the room the whole time.
I figured you would.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, laying the groundwork.
Nick, could you kick me off on this one? I need to think about this.
Laying the groundwork, because this guy laid the groundwork to make his videos by hooking up with the prostitutes.
Right, right.
So it's kind of ingenious, but
right.
Super dickish at
it's
the same time.
It's very divisive.
Yeah, he's super dickish. So I'm going to say Tool.
Okay, laying the groundwork. Again, like it sounds like a a wise businessman, but a scum of a person. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, very divisive. Device being another antonym, or I'm sorry, synonym for tool. So we'll go tool.
It's true. I'm next in cooler tool, Sam. Monkeys. Monkeys.
I'm afraid monkeys are always cool. They're dirty and obscene with their junk hanging out all the time, but they're cool, man. They're entertaining. They're goofy. I love them.
Yeah, monkeys are cool. I'm kind of over them, though.
How are you over monkeys?
I'm over monkeys because people
Planet
have...
Planet of the Apes killed it for you?
No, I think everybody's just too into monkeys.
Okay. I hate it when, like, someone buys their little baby boy monkey hats and monkey, and they're like, he's our little monkey. And, like, that drives me crazy. And I've seen that so many times.
Yeah, there's just a lot of reasons why monkeys are over for me. But, you know, the animals...
Isn't it the year of the monkey?
It is.
26? All right.
It is.
Well, this is not a good year to be disfavorable against the monkey, sir.
Well, I guess I'll have to stay out of China. And finally,
or you might get the beatus.
Finally, in cooler tool, sharks. Sharks.
Sharks are so cool. I mean, the masses speak when Shark Week comes around. Sure, it's not WrestleMania,
no.
But people are watching.
They are. And sharks are cool. I'm not into Shark Week. I don't get all into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sharks are cool.
You never had a shark tooth necklace? You never rocked the
no,
the bling bling from the under the sea?
No, not a lot of shark tooth necklaces for sale in Vermont. Did not happen.
Understood.
And by the time I moved to California, I was in my 30s, so that was...
Nate, it's never too late.
It is. It is too late. It may never be too late for a skull ring.
Yes. I remember my first skull ring from Pirates of the Caribbean.
I remember my first skull ring.
Ruby maybe, eyes.
Maybe that should be the title of the show. let me write that down.
It was dope, dude. It was metal with like the ruby eyes that looked super wicked.
Yeah.
For a little third grade kid, that was badass. Today, I need to go. I'm going to go online and see if I can find one right now.
Oh, I guarantee they're everywhere, dude. You know who wears a skull ring? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Of course.
Bring that back around. That's cool.
Way
or
to
tool. The Chive, and we mentioned them last week when we did the Fuck, Marry, Kill segment.
Right.
They have something called the Asking Couch.
Hmm.
And the Asking Couch, primarily, they bring the ladies who work or are guest modeling around the Chive headquarters. They bring them out to the Asking Couch, and they ask them different questions, sort of get the female perspective on things.
Nice.
I know there have been some where they get the male perspective on stuff, but since the Chive is mostly... women look at it too, but for the most part, it's guys who are consumers of thechive.com.
Right.
So this is a chance to sort of see what women think of things. And the question was, ladies, if you had a penis for a day, what would you do and what would you name it?
What would you name it?
Had a penis for a day, for 24 hours, what would you do with it? And why? Because I'm pretty curious myself.
Because you don't have a penis? I would pee everywhere, probably.
Everything?
Everything. I would literally do target practice.
I'd just go outside and just start peeing everywhere.
Pee in the plants, pee in public. I'll just pull out my dick and pee.
I would...
It's so unfair that guys can do that.
Yeah.
I want to know what a blowjob feels like, because apparently it's the bee's knees.
They're
the shit.
Fucking
and people just fucking love blowjobs.
I want to get a blowjob. I just want to see what the big deal is. Like, what is the big deal about a blowjob?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I want you to get your dick sucked to realize how good it feels.
Obviously.
So you guys stop complaining about it and calling it a job.
Calling it a job.
No,
is
I
that...
don't know.
I would love to experience blue balls so I would know exactly how bad it
is. It's not fun.
Yeah.
I would want to have a sword fight.
Are you saying, like, boom, boom, two dudes sword fighting it out?
Yes.
What guy are you going to get to volunteer for that?
It's
I
not
would
sword
take a
fighting.
Bubble bath to watch my penis float.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd put it in a hot dog bun.
I would absolutely draw a face on the end of the penis.
Oh, I would do like,
be like, hi.
I would go swimming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it... I go swimming.
Or take a bath.
Wait, like a dolphin or something? Like some sort of fish tail? Like you just use it to swim through the water?
I'd wear like a...
It's a fin.
So would you name your dogs?
Oh, hell yes.
What would you name it?
Like a strong name. Want a strong name. Like Charles.
Charles?
Charles in charge?
Mine would be more exotic and, you know, like Pedro.
Have you named yours?
Pedro? Of course I have.
What is it?
Kittens.
No!
What would you name it?
Oh. What if you called it Whip? Like, want to see me whip?
And nay nay are the balls!
Whip and then nay and nay. Yeah. Nay, because you have three.
But I don't have three balls.
People don't have three?
If I was going to be my nerdy self, I would call it the Basilisk because
whoa.
Harry Potter.
The evil serpent from Harry Potter.
I love that. You like punish it.
Oh, it's a girl, actually. Does that count?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
I mean, I am a girl with penis, so who says I can't have a girl penis snake?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Name it Mortal Kombat, so I could be like, finish her, or like Hulk, so I could be like, Hulk smash. It would be something very cheesy and ridiculous like that.
Oh my god.
I would name it Franklin.
Franklin and Bash.
Oh!
That would be like...
Nice.
Because you can bash.
Bash.
I'm gonna bash it in my dick.
Wait, do we get to pick what penis we have for a day?
Yeah, I would it would definitely be like circumcised, pretty.
Yeah.
I would pick the prettiest penis.
The prettiest one.
Yeah.
I would like a small baby arm.
How many inches am I getting?
Oh, if you're getting a dick for a day, you're at least getting 10 inches.
10 inches?
Kill somebody.
Dear God.
I want like a bulge. Like I want to have a bulge. I want girls to walk on me like,
did you hear her? 10 inches, you're going to kill somebody with that.
So I can do the fun things, but I've never really seen the micro penis. So maybe I would want to have a micropenis just because I've never seen one in my life.
Thank you for... Would you send me a dick pic if you had
yes.
one? Yeah.
So that's
interesting.
That's a little insight into what women would do if they had a penis for 24 hours.
Eye opening.
What was your favorite one of those? Hey, Jason just showed up. He missed the best part too.
Yeah, I like the Hulk smash or the Mortal Kombat finisher. I think those were fun. That's nice. Having a little battle call.
That's
named
true.
After Mortal Kombat character.
It's true. Sam, have you named your penis?
I've never even invested a moment's thought. Like, this is eye-opening that
I've
never even thought about it.
I don't know. Jason, you just got here. Let me ask you the question with no context at all. Let me turn your mic on so we can hear you.
Yes.
Have you named your penis?
Even as a boy?
At any point in your life, have you named your penis?
I used to call it a Bobo when I was really young.
No. That's not naming your penis. That's
just like a,
that's something that your
another word.
That's something
another
that
word, right?
That's something that like your mom called it, so she wouldn't have to
my
say
Bobo.
Your penis.
Right.
Yeah. Put your Bobo over there and do that. No, I mean like a legitimate like nickname.
You never called it a name.
Yeah. I hear that buzz as he plugs in his headphones.
Sorry.
It's all right.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've ever had a name for my penis. Like, I know that there's been girls I've been with before that have like wanted to give it a name or
right
make some type of. But me
I
myself,
think that makes more sense.
It's like it's my dick,
right?
Like, you know.
All right, so we're.
Nate, I need to know about you.
We're all in agreement on this.
Okay,
we're all
so
in agreement.
So it's not
on
really
this.
A common thing, really. For me.
I think you know what. What's weird is I think it is. I think we're the uncommon ones.
Wow.
You think so, or you think it's just part of the matriarchal society that we live in, where they make us name our appendage?
That might be part of it. You know, they're controlling the media, trying to brainwash us to think that that's the norm.
Well, it's crazy, but I know a lot of people who, and I never ask what it is. I mean, for the purpose of the podcast, I would.
Right.
But no,
we can ask. What would you name it if you ever did?
Punisher.
Ooh, okay.
It's got a little. It appeals to the comic book nerd, but still sounds tough.
Yeah, it does.
Jason, name it.
Oh gosh, if I had to name it, I'd have to. Oh gosh, like you said, Punisher is like a really great one. Like
right?
that's like a perfect
that
name
is, that's
for
as
a
good
dick.
As it gets,
that's,
a, yeah.
that's pretty much it. I would.
Damn.
Gosh. The Executioner. No.
Okay. Yeah.
No. There's that's just that. Me trying to match his. If I was to name my dick...
Stone Cold Steve Austin? The Rock?
The Rock.
The Rock is not bad.
Charlie. God, Charlie.
Hey, Jolly.
Because they said my dick was like a tin can.
You know what's really hilarious?
The first girl who wanted to name her penis.
She goes, strong name, something like Charlie.
I think she said Charles, but, you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, that was the same idea.
That's funny that you don't even know.
That Jason thinks like a chick?
He thinks like a girl.
That's how I roll. It's one of my gifts.
That's how you get with a woman.
Sam, what would you name your penis?
Legitimately?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, dude, this is something I would, if I was going to actually do it, I would want to invest a lot of time. You know, look through name books and stuff, see what the meaning
baby
is.
Baby names.
But off the top of my head, Mighty Thor, you know, because it ties into my Norwegian heritage.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, the god of thunder.
Mm-hmm. Called Mjolnir. That's like the.
Yeah. The Mjolnir. Yeah.
Mjolnir.
Yeah. Spelled Mjolnir. But yeah, Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
There you go.
There you go.
I like
his mighty hammer.
I might, if I could not go with the Punisher, I might go with Excalibur.
Ooh, okay.
Or the sword of Damocles.
Nice.
Would be another one.
Badass.
Yeah. Pretty good to consider. I will start doing
Let's
it.
Let's start doing it.
I'll give my penis aliases.
Depending on
what
situation you're in.
Jason, you're married now. You should do that. You should totally.
I should just be like, that's not his name.
Yeah, just be like tonight you have a rendezvous with Excalibur.
Ready your sheath.
That's right. It's all gonna happen. All right, so let's move on to this. Heading on down south where things are simpler, including the people.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
And what may be a new record for driving with a spouse clinging to the roof of a car, a Florida man was arrested after traveling 6 miles with his wife on top of his vehicle.
Holy shit.
According to investigators, Richard Addy, who's 69, and his wife Elizabeth argued early on a Tuesday morning after they had consumed, and I quote, several drinks over the course of the night at a pair of bars. Richard told the cops that he eventually decided to leave the scene without his 50-year-old spouse. Hey, not bad. He's 69. She's 50.
Wow, dude. 20 years.
Scoring some young tail.
Shit.
He said he drove away in his 2011 Toyota Sequoia, but did not realize his wife was on the roof of the vehicle.
Sure. I'm sure she was screaming and pounding the whole time.
He was drunk. He thought it was his headache. It was only when he stopped at a traffic light that he heard her banging on the roof and realized she was there. However, instead of stopping, he drove on. He claimed because he didn't have a cell phone to call the police. And he said that
he was afraid she would have hurt him.
Sure. And he said he went by the county courthouse in hopes of finding a police presence. But when he spotted no officers, he continued on.
Jesus Christ.
I think there's some reason there.
There's nobody else had a cell phone. It's Florida.
He finally came to a stop when Officer Christopher Rudiger of the Stewart Police Department spotted Elizabeth on top of the car and pulled him over. Elizabeth, the cop noted, was yelling for help and waving her hands at me. Another vehicle was stopped at an intersection 6 miles from where the trip began. After the cop helped her down, Elizabeth said that she was banging on the roof and screaming for help the entire time. The report, however, does not reveal why she climbed on top of it in the first place.
Right.
The cop noted detecting a strong odor of alcoholic beverage coming from the driver. He was arrested only for reckless driving, which is a misdemeanor, and permitting a passenger to ride on the exterior of his vehicle.
Okay.
That's some creative, like charges. Those are creative charges.
They're creative charges, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also in Florida, two alligators were caught on video engaging in a brief scuffle at a golf course, but that's kind of boring.
The headline says it all.
It's just very it's very Florida.
It's so Florida.
Incredibly Florida. So
get
I thought
your
I would
Gatorade and watch.
I would... Gatorade. So the State Department is catching a little bit of flack now for a tweet. Everybody catches flack for tweets these days.
It seems dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And they've apologized too. After igniting a social media controversy over a tweet designed to be a travel tip, but instead seemed to warn not-so-attractive people that they could be robbed. Pay attention, homely folks. An official State Department account offered various travel tips under the hashtag Spring Breaking Badly.
What?
But one tweet warned travelers of overseas scams. It set off a backlash across Twitter for being offensive. The tweet read, not a 10 in the U.S., then not a 10 overseas. Beware of being lured into buying expensive drinks, or worse, being robbed. Hashtag spring breaking badly.
That's brilliant, actually. Hey, it's a nice PSA. I think that really catches the attention.
That's more of a, it's a lured in to buy more expensive drinks. This was a tweet designed for the men.
Right.
I mean, like, it was taken offense of. I think that if people knew that it was towards men, because it really is towards men.
It is, because the women aren't buying drinks.
Yeah, never. Bitches. So, but I'm sure that it's women that thought, like, they got upset about
well,
it.
Well, lonely.
I'm insecure about my image, and you made it worse.
Well, Lonely Girl 15. Her hashtag, her name is Lonely Girl 15.
Mm-hmm.
Tweeted,
stop spending my tax money on calling me ugly.
Right. It was, see, people That's took so it as fitting. A personal attack that, like, it wasn't for you, broad. Like, you're not, right. Sorry.
Broad.
Sorry.
Hey,
listen,
broad.
Listen, when she's taking offense to something, like, and here's the thing is, right. I am a feminist. I say that I'm a feminist, and you guys know, you guys say I'm whipped all the time, right?
Right.
But at the same time, this is a thing that as a man you should be upset about. Is right. Like saying that
it's targeted toward you.
Because if you're not a 10, hey, don't think that girl's flirting with you and wanting that drink. No, she's trying to get you drunk or, you know, so she can rob you.
Yeah.
Because that does happen a lot to guys, especially on spring break. Like, you hear stories about it often.
Dude, gold diggers are everywhere.
But
dude.
It's not. But it's usually a gold digger with two guys too. Or,
of course,
you know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
not just a.
It's a little it's, ring. Going
so
on.
No, don't say it's just girl, but it's a ring that.
But
happens.
Speaking of the girls, have you seen this video?
Oh my god,
it was brilliant. It was one of these guys who do like social experiments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This guy goes up to a girl. He's dressed in like pajama pants, a Hawaiian shirt. It looks really stupid. And he's like, walks up to this attractive blonde girl, and it's being videotaped from afar. He's like, "Hi, my name's this and that." And he's really awkward. He's like, "Are you free this evening? I'd love to take you to a nice dinner or something like that." And like, he's not coming off like, "Hey, I wanted to give you some drinks and bone you." No, he's like, he's trying to be cordial.
I've seen this video. Should I spoil it?
And then, well, I'll speed it up. So it comes to, she denies him and says, "I'm sorry, I have plans this evening, this and that and the other thing."
And then
this other guy shows up. He walks away. Another guy shows up in this hot rod, dressed like a pimp, walks out and starts talking to her. And
by
he's
hot
like,
rod,
hey,
you mean like Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. And he's like, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" She's like, "Whatever you want," kind of a thing. You know, like, she's ready to go. She's trying to hang out with this dude.
Right.
Then the same guy she was talking to before takes off the other clothes to reveal that he's actually the hot young millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having his clothes dry cleaned or whatever. And the guy who drove up in the car was his servant picking up his car. And then the bitch tried actually coming up to the guy. He's like, "This is your car?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What are you doing this evening?" And trying to, like, swoon him afterward. It blew my mind.
That's the way the world works, bro.
She flipped her coin 3 times in like 5 minutes, dude.
Yeah,
that
happens.
That's the way it is. Like,
where's the money at?
So other than Lonely Girl 15, actor and writer BJ Novak from The Office tweeted, "What about being hot in Cleveland? Is that real?"
Cleveland rocks.
Because to be fair, you might be a 6 from where you're from, but you might be a 10 in Cleveland.
Right.
Absolutely.
So this is true. Another person set up a mock travel gov tweet with a portable attractiveness scale. If you are not near a trusted State Department official but fear hashtag spring breaking badly. Now, the State Department has deleted the tweet and issued a 2-tweet apology.
Wow. Come on, people.
Saying, "Some have been offended by our earlier tweet, and we apologize it came off negatively. We see many Americans fall victim to scams each year and want all to be careful when traveling." Or, "Quit being so fucking sensitive, you ass clown."
For real, dude.
Everybody just needs to, like, take, like, sorry.
Come on, people.
Yeah.
I need to
get out of your own way and recognize when people are trying to help you.
Right.
And don't just immediately go for being offended.
Right.
You self-righteous, self-important ass clown.
Do you know what happens if all you do all day is take offense?
Yeah. What is
you
that?
You get yourself trapped in a bunch of fences. Trapped like a little puppy dog. So just stop it, people. Get out of the fence.
That was so bad.
Shitty, I'm sorry.
That was such a terrible pun. No. Although, you know, I did laugh. So good. There you go. Good. Hey, breaking news, everybody. As we record this, and it'll be all over by the time this drops in the morning, Bernie Sanders is the winner of the Wisconsin primary.
No.
Some good news.
Mm-hmm. 55.4% of the vote, as I'm looking at this right now. 11 points over Hillary Clinton.
What? No way.
Hey.
He has now won 7 of the past 8 states.
Boom.
Okay, there's hope.
No wonder she doesn't like his tone. She is still ahead overall in delegates, but it's getting tight.
You know, I still have my theory that everything's rigged and she's going to win anyways, but I hope to see that I'm wrong.
You know what? What was really interesting is catch the Daily Show from Monday,
okay,
where Trevor Noah had Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is the chair of the Democratic National Committee. And he actually asked her, what about the perception that Bernie Sanders is being cock-blocked by the DNC?
That's good that he's thinking about this.
Yeah, it's certainly
out there. It reflects badly on the whole convention.
It's certainly out there. So she didn't give the best of answers.
Oh, no.
You know, so it's interesting, but the delegate race is getting closer. It's going to be interesting. Ted Cruz beat Donald Trump in Wisconsin, too. So,
yeah, his time's about up, I think. I think that we'll be seeing Donald.
He's got a pretty good lead right now, but in Wisconsin, Ted Cruz, 50% of the vote. Donald Trump, just under 33%. And John Kasich at 14%. That's right. The sensible, normal one, 14%. So, anyway, that's what's going on in politics as of late. So we got your full-on update with that. So it'll be interesting as we head through. Yeah. Maybe when we vote in California in June, it'll still matter in the primary race.
Yeah, the way things are going.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting.
Anytime I hear any of this politic news, though, I just hear Tears for Fears, Mad World playing in my head. Things are crazy, bro. I'm going to do that goofy dance he does in the video.
Not everybody wants to rule the world?
You know, that's also a fitting title.
Wouldn't it be? Mm.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
All right. This is not the traditional small town news of, oh my God, this is a small town.
Sidewalks.
This would only be news in a small town.
What
do we got? It's news that actually happened in a small town.
Okay. Hmm. But it's real news.
It's real news.
Oh,
headline. Okay. Police. Man had 1,428 bags worth of heroin in his rectum.
Wait, what?
How do you fit that many? These bags are tiny.
Very carefully.
1,000. What?
Dateline St. Albans, Vermont. I worked in St. Albans for a short time. Vermont State Police said a man found with drug paraphernalia in his car during a traffic stop was concealing 1,428 bags worth of heroin in his rectum. I don't know what a bag worth of heroin is, but whatever. Investigators say Fernando Estrella, who's 41 and he's from New York, was pulled over at about 1 a.m. in St. Albans for speeding through a stop sign while driving his gray Chevy minivan.
What an idiot.
A drug-stiffing canine alerted officers to Estrella's seat, but they found only a needle and cooking cap with no drugs. Hmm. So they thought,
how peculiar.
They did an Arsenio, things that make you go, So he was detained and taken to a local hospital, where a body cavity search uncovered 3 condoms containing 1,428 bags worth of heroin. I don't know what that is, but
How the fuck? It's like, how big are those? Like, those are like, how small are those bags?
Well,
I have to wonder how much.
He's fit 3 of them up his a-hole.
Well, no, these 3 condoms that can all the bag. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you know he must. That. Oh,
that's like
shit.
3 dicks deep.
Kareem's not here because he's doing a cleanse,
oh!
Which cleans out your colon and your.
Making
shit.
Plenty of room for the heroin.
I've said too much. If Kareem is traveling anytime soon,
we're
going to have to report him.
I guess if you got a colonic, you know, you could, that makes sense.
Or a colonoscopy.
Get
it all cleaned
out. Get all that crusty
Brilliant.
Poo out of the wall.
Anyway, police say Estrella admitted the bags were from New York and were designated for sale in Vermont. Estrella was arrested on charges of felony heroin possession in his butt, heroin trafficking
in his butt,
and heroin importation. He was also found to be in violation of the terms of his release from a November 2015 cocaine arrest. Well, I guess you're working in one industry. You got to keep working in that industry.
Yeah.
You think your job's a pain in the ass.
Oh!
So that's small town news for you. A little different take on it.
That's completely different. I was expecting some Gordy Little.
And right?
I got a New Yorker with heroin up his ass.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing.
It is. It's a nice change.
There's a nice, like, you know...
You know, I didn't see that coming. Whoa!
Yeah, right?
Huh.
It's like out of left field.
Yeah, it's very different.
What was that?
Yeah, no one expects Fernando.
No, I was not expecting a story about 1,400 bags of heroin up some guy's anus.
Right.
Rectum.
I hardly knew him.
I hardly knew him. Jason, I'm sorry you missed out on the WrestleMania talk.
Oh, God, I'm so sad.
It was something else.
Yeah, no. You have to give me a recap.
Nicely done, sir.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and listening to Sam and I for most of the show, and then Jason for the end.
Thanks, guys.
Hope you've garnered a little bit of knowledge, had a little bit of fun, maybe learned a little bit of something about the WWE and WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Or maybe you skipped ahead to 24 minutes into the show and picked it up there. Either way, thanks for listening. We'll see you on Friday with another fresh new episode. Until then, enjoy the sounds of ABBA.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Echoing through your soul. On the Nate Darling Show.
So afraid, Fernando. We were young and full of life, and none of us prepared to die. And I'm not ashamed to say the roar of guns and cannons almost made me cry. I haven't seen a rifle in your hand. Can you hear the drums, Fernando? Do you still recall the fateful night we crossed the Rio Grande? I can see it in your eyes, how proud you were to fight for freedom in this land.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.